You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
This is Brian Kilby for Radio Free Cybertron. Today is April 1st, April Fool's Day, and we have a brief show on our hands this week. But sitting in right with me now is Hitman Pez. I'm looking at him right now. So, Hitman Pez is, as for some of you who will remember, the first person to see Beast Machines in the U.S. Way before BotCon of last year. Say hey to the people, Pez.
Hey, people.
Yeah, you're one wild man. Okay, what do you think of Beast Machines now?
It's okay, could use some work.
Yeah, we can all use some work. Well, you haven't seen Beast Machines Season 2, have you?
Not yet.
Oh, well, Season 2 is much better in my opinion. Thanks, Pez. Before I go any further, I want to thank two people who have immensely helped the RSC France Wars the Movie parody. Rick Baca, who helped do many of the sound effects, and Zabavor, who did everything else. Thanks, guys. I want to apologize for the extreme briefness of this week's show. I'm pinched for time and experimenting with a new format, so bear with us. This week on Radio Free Cybertron, Turin returns with the news from Cybertron. He has a review of Optimus Matter and the top six worst Transformer-related April Fool's jokes. I have an interview this week with a surprise guest. J-Dale dropped by and did a review of the Target Master Point Blank. Goldimus Prime has a review of Headmaster RC, you heard me right, and we have the second part of Transformers the Movie. In the spoiler segment of the show, we have the ATT Buzz and review of the new episode of Beast Machines. Oh, and on the webpage is Ask RFC. Mothboy wanted me to read it on the air, but I think that putting it on the page is easier and better. First up on the show this week, however, we have trivia. Trivia, the answer to last week's trivia clip was Code of Hero from Beast Wars. Soundwave X was the only person to get it right. This week, however, we're doing it a little differently. This week it's Zob Trivia. Zob sent us a question. The answer will come at the end of the regular show before the spoiler stuff mentioned before. The question is, what was the only cartoon episode in which there was a reference to Spike's mom? Coming up on the show right now is Turin with the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
In a birthday celebration for Ultra Magnus this afternoon, the respected Autobot City Commander was honored with a 21-gun salute. We wish him many happy returns. In other news, 21 civilians were killed this afternoon in a hail of gunfire originating from an unknown source. Authorities are still sifting clues. A renegade Decepticon has barricaded himself in his house and refuses to come out. However, he is not armed, and no one is paying any attention to him. Galvatron and Cyclonus pledged their undying love today in a quiet ceremony with few guests. We had a radio crew down there for the story, but they appear to have been blasted. And finally, the Autobot Perceptor is facing scandal this week. It seems that somebody actually looked through his scope while he was transformed, and discover that it only magnifies objects up to one time. He's making it all up, isn't he? Accused Ratchet. Perceptor tearfully admitted that he's been bluffing all this time, and that most of his scientific-sounding pronouncements are sheer guesswork. And that's the news this week, with apologies to George Carlin.
Turin's Top 6.
The Top 6 Worst Transformers-Related April Fool's Jokes. Number 6. Hey, Blue Jackal, I accidentally broke your Dinobot. He was a wuss anyway, though. No, I'm just kidding. April Fool. Number 5. From Rodimus Prime. Ultra Magnus, I know that I opened the Matrix and defeated Unicron, but that was just luck. You really ought to be leader. I bestow upon you the Autobot Matrix of Leadership. Psych! April Fools! Number 4, from Bumblebee. Sparkplug, I'm sorry. On our latest mission, Spike got stepped on by Starscream. It was awful. Blood was spraying everywhere. His last words were, "Tell my dad, if he were a better father, I'd still be alive." No, I'm just kidding, Sparkplug. You should have seen the look on your face. Number 3. Depth Charge, Rampage has decided to turn himself in for his crimes. Number 2, from Ultra Magnus. I've never seen anything this beautiful in the entire galaxy. Alright, give me the bomb. Oh wait, that really happened. And number 1, the worst Transformers-related April Fool's joke. Hasbro is pleased to announce a new Transformers comic book series, written by Bob Skeer.
No!
Turin's quick review.
Hello and welcome to my quick review of the Beast Wars toy Optimus Minor. One of the first Transmetal 2 basics released, Optimus Minor's beast form is a monkey. Though much maligned by some insecure trans fans, this is really one of the best toys of the entire Transformers line. His beast mode is eminently poseable, and his tail whip and robot mode is one of the best weapons I've ever seen. The expression on his beast and robot heads is superbly crafted. And I think, no, I can't do this. Brian, I'm sorry. I don't care how much you pay me. I cannot spout this drivel. This is nonsense. Optimus Minor does not exist. Don't fall for the conspiracy. Listen to me, people. They almost sucked me in, too. Save yourselves from the evil.
Space. An endless conundrum of mysteries and dreams. Supernovae and black holes, quasars and pulsars. It's the puzzle of life itself, wrapped in a beautiful. Sorry, my button was stuck. You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
This is Brian Kilby for Radio Free Cybertron. I got an email a few days ago saying that someone could get me an interview with Optimus Prime. I'm only assuming that they mean Peter Cullen. Either way, it's only going to cost me a phone call, so why not? Here we go. Dialing now.
Free Cybertron, the only radio show where you'll hear me say, I'm not wearing any pants.
Greetings, this is Jay Dale with a G1 review of Point Blank. Now, as you remember, Point Blank is from the Target Master series, and he's binarily bonded to Peacemaker. who transforms into his gun. Now, Point Blank's vehicle mode is a futuristic car. It's mostly red with some light blue on the cab and the spoiler and rear exhaust. I'm not exactly sure what that's supposed to be. Now, the transformation robot mode is pretty simple. You remove the spoiler, rotate the legs out, side panels on the car goes back, shoulders rotate out, and the top part of the car folds back and reveals the head. In robot mode, it's fairly articulate for a G1. The wrists rotate 360 degrees, the elbows rotate back and forth, the shoulders will go all the way around 360 degrees. The knees are connected, so you could put them in a kneeling position, but I don't know why you'd want to. And the hips rotate 360 degrees as well. Now, Point Blank's partner Peacemaker is mostly red with gray legs, and as is common with these target masters, to make him into a gun, pretty much just flip the legs back. Now, the gun isn't very convincing because of that, but it'll work for these purposes. And Peacemaker also fits onto Point Blank in both modes. In robot mode, obviously, he holds him in his hand. In vehicle mode, there's a hole in the top of the cab on the car, and his peg fits into that. Now, overall, this is a pretty nice toy. The vehicle mode holds together very well, and the robot mode looks pretty nice. So it's got some cool touches on it, and even a little flame job. So I give it 4 stars. So I'd say if you can pick it up on eBay or any other Transformers toy site, go pick it up.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
This week, I'm reviewing the late Generation 1 Transformers toy, Headmaster RC. You'll have to bear with me. I've never reviewed a G1 toy before, but it shouldn't be that hard. If I had to choose one word to describe RC's car mode, I would have to say perfection. There's nothing that looks like it. This is the best looking vehicle mode I've ever seen. Completely show accurate. And the top even opens up for the little Daniel Witwicky headmaster to fit in. Aside from the opening top, there's a couple other gimmicks, including a little drill-like thing that pops out of the side of the car when you push a button on the hood. It's kind of neat, actually. It has enough force to knock over another toy. And there's also another button that controls the Headmaster ejection seat, which seems to be exclusive to this toy. I'm sure many of you will realize how much fun it is to just repeatedly push the button and send the little Headmaster Daniel flying. Oh, what hours of joy I had with that. As would be expected with the vehicle, there's really no posability in this mode. The little Daniel Headmaster has a bit. Normal Headmaster posability, I suppose. RC's transformation makes use of techniques you would never think of. In fact, there's still some things I'm trying to figure out how it works in the transformation. Okay, you now have RC in robot mode. And again, this robot mode is just perfection itself. She's highly posable, arms, elbows, hips, and knees. If you didn't know better, you'd almost think it was a Beast Wars or Beast Machines toy. Which, come to think of it, her car mode could probably pass as some kind of Viacon. Have I mentioned that this toy is completely show accurate? When I was talking about the transformation a moment ago, I said there were some things I couldn't figure out how it worked. That's one of them. I don't know how they get a show accurate robot mode out of a show accurate car mode. This has to be Hasbro's greatest creation yet. Oh, something else I want to point out. The little Daniel Headmaster component makes a perfect replica of RC's show head. This is just an amazing toy. Oh. One important thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about the vehicle mode. It has rubber tires. That's right, rubber tires. What lots of you like. RC does not appear to have any gimmicks in robot mode, unfortunately. I'm sure they could have put something real nice there. I wanted to consider the headmaster thing to be a gimmick, which I guess it kind of is. There's really no gimmick to speak of in robot mode. Vehicle mode, having that total show accuracy and the little things popping out of it, and of course the ever popular Daniel ejector seat, not to mention rubber tires, gets a 9.9999996 out of 10. Despite having no gimmick in robot mode, and despite having Daniel for a head, I still give it a 9.995 out of 10. There's amazing posability, and something I forgot to mention earlier, show accurate color scheme too. This is the pinnacle of toy creation. Gimmicks also get high marks for the virtue of the Daniel ejector seat, if nothing else. That's just gotta be my favorite little gimmick, to watch that little Daniel headmaster go flying through the air. I give the gimmicks a 9 out of 10 even. Overall, I must tell you, this toy is a work of art. You must possess this toy no matter what it takes. Go, mortgage your house, do whatever you have to, buy this toy! Before I go, I just have to point out, I cannot say enough good things about this toy. It is the height of perfection. I give her an overall rating of 9.9995 out of 10. This is Goldimus Prime with the Radio Free Cybertron Toy Review.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Coming up on Radio Free Cybertron right now is the long-anticipated second part of Transformers the Movie.
Radio Free Cybertron presents Transformers the Movie, Part 2.
Starring Vice Grybex as Mojo Jojo, Chewin as Optimus Minor, Deathosaurus as Generation 1 Megatron and Dragon Megatron, Pandora 60 as the Powerpuff Girls, and special guest star Rhinox as Death. Last episode, the Decepticons stole the key to the Plasma Energy Chamber. As the Decepticons play Twister on board the stolen Autobot shuttle, the Autobot Hot Rod, who has nothing better to do with his time, is fishing with a little snot named Daniel Witwicky.
Fish are really jumping today, eh, Dano?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, what's the matter?
I don't know, Hot Rod. Dad grounded me after I told him that you've been sleeping around with Alita 1.
Ha 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 ha. Hey, Daniel, I got a present for you.
Really? What?
The end.
Hello, this is Dr. Stephen Hawking. And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Okay. This isn't Stephen Hawking. But you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron, if that's any consolation.
Tune in next week, hopefully, for the continuation of Transformers the Movie. Coming up in a moment is the end of the show, for those of you who are leaving because of spoilers. If not, stay with us for more of the show. We'll have the ATT Buzz, and we'll have the review of the newest episode of Beast Machines. But coming up right now, for Radio Free Cybertron is Trivia the Answer. Zob asked us, you know, through me, vicariously, I guess, or by proxy. Okay, I'm getting too technical here. Okay. The question was, in what episode of G1 did the show reference Spike's mom? And the answer is none of them. April Fool's. For those of you who are leaving, goodbye. See you next week with more Radio Free Cybertron. For those of you who are staying, we'll have the ATT Buzz and the review. And you know how this works. We'll have a few seconds of spoiler space, and after that, you are on your own. So, right now, here goes.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and lots of stuff on the news group this week. As usual, I'd say, first up, you know, something tells me that Car Robots made it over here to this side of the pond A-OK. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a hunch, or maybe it's the hundreds of thousands of reviews on ATT. And it's not that I'm complaining. You know, it's good to see that everybody is speaking their mind on the new stuff. But man, you know, this is easily the biggest response to any Japanese release. And it gets bigger every time. Even though I personally haven't opened all of mine from the first wave, I can already tell you that Gigatron is my personal favorite. I guess I'm a sucker for good six-changer. They really exemplify Transformers. And I think Gigi is a worthy successor to Six Shot. As far as Quick Switch, I think we can overlook that. You know, Son of Six Shot was decent, I guess. But still, based on that color scheme, I'd say old Six Shot got lucky in the broom closet with an iMac. No wonder he never told Quick Switch about his mom. Anyway, the news group was also buzzing about the two new TV characters on Beast Machines, Obsidian and Stryka. And whether or not you like the show as a whole, I gotta admit, and you gotta admit, that those two made quite the first impression, especially that full-figured Stryka. What a girl, you know. I thought plant Transformers were scary, but that's nothing compared to Transformer Androgyny. And does anybody else think that Hasbro Man should hire at least some of these mainframe designers to help out? You know, I know that mainframe can pretty much do whatever they want with the toy designs for the show, but still, these guys really do have some great ideas, and the more ideas, the better, especially with these Viacon toys. I mean, Hasbro Man really needs some fresh minds on this, because so far, I gotta say, I'm disappointed in the effort as a whole. Most of these guys don't look like that much of an improvement over G2, and being compared to Car Robots isn't gonna help that image at all. And that's the ATT Buzz for this week. I'm John DeLuna.
Thanks, John. Coming up right now is my review, Spark War Part 2, The Search. Another great Beast Machines episode. The plot is roughly Primal decides that he and the Maximals must get the stolen sparks back. Unfortunately, Megatron has stowed them away beyond the reach of the Maximals, and Primal is out to find where. To aid the Maximals in their search, Rat Trap devises these little doohickeys that allow the Maximals to walk around without being spotted, as they are in their beast mode, as presented in this rather forced and flat joke.
Oh, if we could stay in robot mode without alerting their sensors.
In that case, Webs, this is your lucky day.
Introducing the handy-dandy scramble field generator. When activated, this little marvel of electronic wizardry is guaranteed to bamboozle, bewitch, and otherwise befuddle all manner of vehicle tracking devices. And it just so happens we're running a special today. Buy one, get six free.
The team is split up into groups. Black Arachne, Silverbolt, and Cheetor are put together with Cheetor in command. Silverbolt isn't pleased, as shown in this line. The episode's best.
All right, team. We begin our search over there.
No offense, kitten, but I don't take orders from children.
Silverbolt, a lot's happened since you've been gone.
Not that much.
Primal and Nightscream unearth Icon and answer a few lingering questions in continuity. They find a holographic monument, which is more than meets the eye.
The city was lost eons ago after the Great War between the Autobots and the Decepticons.
Not lost, merely replaced. During the great upgrade from Autobot to Maximal. Welcome to Iacon.
So this is where our ancestors, the Autobots, lived.
Lived and battled.
So what are you looking for exactly? Hey, isn't that...
Yes, a holographic tribute to my ancestor, the original Optimus Prime. Are you really my ancestor, Optimus Prime?
Yes and no. I am his essence, stored here these many years after the final battle.
I need guidance. The Oracle is no more, and without it...
The Oracle lies within you, Optimus Primal. It will grant you the insight to defeat Megatron, if only you have the courage to summon it.
Of course. Now everything makes sense. The solution has been within me the entire time.
What? What's going on here?
Megatron?
Megatron! You!
Yes, Optimus. I sent you that flash about the sparks that tricked you into sending your Maximals on fool's errands. Oh, to goad you into accessing the Oracle for my benefit.
How? Oh. Why?
I don't suppose you recall me downloading most of the Oracle from you during one of your previous visits. You think I would let you escape without taking it from you? I've spent a great deal of time deciphering the Oracle. I've mastered most of its secrets, and yet the most important data remained encrypted beyond my reach. That is... until now.
In the end, Primal, after being in a mental bond with Megatron in the previous scene, discovers that the sparks are in the flying Megatron head transformer thing. This episode has its perks. There's a nice scene where Cheetor makes a gung-ho jump towards the Viacons, only to decide to run away. Cheetor is sort of cool now, and that's a good thing. And most of the previous scenes mentioned were good. The fact that Primal took info from Megatron is a double-edged sword. While it shows thought on Primal's side, it seemed to be somewhat of a stretch. This episode has everything going for it and little to complain about, and it gets an 8. And thanks for listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Tune in next week.